Welcome to Health Media Now with award-winning author and host Denise Messenger for a lifetime of health empowerment. Live by being in the pink, meaning P stands for being persistent, I stands for using your intuition, N stands for networking, and K stands for obtaining knowledge. Our guests entertain and share cutting-edge information. They share with you what may have taken years to achieve through experience in their field. Become inspired and motivated. Reach your full potential with fascinating tips and products. Receive a lifetime of benefits from authors, doctors, practitioners, healthcare providers, and learn about exciting new products. You asked for it, and we deliver. Now, here's your host, Denise Messenger.
Welcome, everybody. So glad that you're tuning in to us today, which is February 26th, 2020. We have a wonderful guest today. In fact, he's coming back on our program. We had him previously, Dr. James Greenblatt. And he has some really exciting news to share with everyone. But our main subject matter is going to be binge eating. He actually has come out with a new book, and we'll be discussing that as well. A little background, he's a pioneer in the integrative medicine field, and I'd say that he's probably treated patients in the past with complex behavioral and mood disorders. He got his medical degree from George Washington University School of Medicine. So let's bring him on. Hi, how are you today, Dr. Greenblatt?
Hi, Denise, how are you?
I'm just great. Well, I'm excited about our topic today. Why don't we just get right into it?
Sure.
What would you like to share with us?
Well, I think that, as a psychiatrist, eating disorders, which is our most life-threatening psychiatric illness, anorexia nervosa, right up there with overdoses and substance abuse. Both anorexia, bulimia, and binge eating disorder are just not addressed in our medical education, our psychiatric training. So they're kind of neglected, ignored conditions. But patients suffer tremendously. So this new book we wrote is on an integrative medicine approach to the most common eating disorder, which is binge eating disorder.
Is that where you have the most experience?
Well, I mean, for the last 20 years, I've devoted my career to eating disorders. So in the hospital level of care, we treat severe anorexia nervosa. But in our outpatient clinics, we see a lot of binge eating disorder. Again, it's the most common. And it's a disorder that is now only in the past few years classified as a psychiatric illness, and only in the past few years what's called the DSM, the Diagnostic Manual, and,
uh-huh.
and the really effective treatment. So that's why I wrote the book and wanted people to know that there are very simple, effective treatments.
Well, let's talk about what those might be.
Great. I mean, again, as a psychiatrist, I kind of have these dual worlds as a using medications when needed. But most of my career is what's called integrative medicine or functional medicine. So I look at the underlying cause. And what we found for those with binge eating, which is different than overeating, binge eating is a disorder, very rapid consumption of large amounts of calories. And it's secretive, it's shameful. Friends, spouses are typically unaware. But what we found and what the research is demonstrating, there's likely a kind of neurochemical imbalance. And if we can address that and address some of the underlying causes, we can treat and completely, cure binge eating disorder.
I didn't know. I had no idea it was a neurochemical imbalance.
Well, I think a lot of people don't. A lot of people still, talk about it as overeating. and it feels shameful. You can't control yourself. Why don't you just not eat or go to Burger King, you know, three times in the span of an hour? But we're now understanding that appetite is regulated by chemicals in the brain, and we can kind of help control that.
What do you use?
Well, I mean, the overarching theme of the book is that everyone's different, so we try to look at underlying causes. It could be nutritional deficiencies, it could be food allergies, it could be genetics. But I think the most common thing that we see is deficiencies in how we digest protein. Because if we don't digest protein adequately, then our brain can't make the chemicals that tells us you're full or you're hungry. So you just have this kind of insatiable kind of appetite, and there's no sense of control or satiety. So the big chunk of the book is on kind of helping individuals understand proper digestion, and sometimes we need digestive enzymes and acid, and then how to use amino acids and protein in regulating appetite.
Amino acids and protein, what do you mean?
Well, a lot of our patients struggling with binge eating disorder, they eat fine, they eat adequately. Sometimes they're overweight, sometimes they're underweight. The weight is not the issue. It's this rapid consumption of food at a certain period. So what we found, when even though they might be eating adequate protein, and protein would be chicken, fish, dairy, meat, when we look at blood tests, we look at levels of the breakdown products of protein, which are amino acids, they're deficient. They have no levels of amino acids. Now, occasionally we see that in someone who's restricting or vegan or not eating that protein, but our binge eating disorder patients typically are eating protein. But what we find is their body is not digesting it, they're not breaking it down. Because every chemical, and there's probably 20 of them, that helps control appetite in the brain is based on these breakdown products of protein called amino acids.
Ah, so then you'll supplement them with amino acids then.
Absolutely. We give them the digestive enzymes to break down with hydrochloric acid. So acid is critical to break down protein in the stomach. So we give them a digestive enzyme to break down the protein, and then we supplement with the amino acids, and oftentimes we can restore a sense of control around hunger and satiety or feeling full, so they don't binge.
Oh my gosh, this is really fascinating.
It really is, and it's really simple. And that's part of the reason I wanted to write this book is, you know, a sad part of my job is working with patients with anorexia, and that is very time-consuming and really challenging, and we go very slowly. But the binge eating disorder is a disorder that is 100% treatable, in my experience.
Fantastic. What would you say is the difference between having an appetite and then hunger? I kind of always thought they were the same.
They're certainly very similar. I think some people describe the appetite as this physiological need, you know, for food, where hunger sometimes has these emotional connotations and very sometimes unregulated.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. So, when you have some exciting news to share with us relative to your ability in the future to help a lot more people.
Yes, as you know, I devoted the last 20 years to the treatment of eating disorders. It's been quite clear that the treatment across the country and even around the globe is very inconsistent. It is a psychological model where we take a very holistic model looking at both psychological and biological as well as, you know, spiritual, that food has very powerful meanings for all of us. But we'll be opening up a new treatment center in July, 82 beds outside of Boston, you know, for an integrative, holistic treatment for all eating disorders.
I think that's so fantastic. I'm going to tell as many people as I can.
Yeah, now many people don't know that, again, you know, anorexia is a life-threatening illness.
Yes.
And binge eating disorder is just the most common eating disorder with shame and guilt. And people are afraid to seek help because they're tired of being told, you know, just diet and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
For illness, it's a multifaceted, comprehensive approach that can help individuals. It's not simple.
I know so many people, you know, who have family members or friends that have been fighting their weight most of their lives. And, you know, I've watched certain people where they'll go on these diets and they'll lose 10, 20 pounds. And then next thing you know, it's right back on again, sometimes even more so. So the obesity issue here in, you know, the United States is huge. And so are the people.
Yeah, no, the, you know, the introductory chapter is getting off the roller coaster, and that's the image on the book. So it is a roller coaster ride for so many individuals. And, you know, it's complicated, but there's certainly a subset of individuals with what I refer to as food addiction. You know, it's
okay.
Controversial in the field, but I believe there's a subset of people with binge eating that do have an addiction to food that they can't stop. And we talk a little bit about that, and some of the variables are we know how addicting sugar can be.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the monosodium glutamate, MSG. This is a chemical that causes things to taste good. So in the 70s and 80s, we put it in every processed food, and it used to be called Chinese restaurant syndrome because Chinese restaurants would add it to all their foods. And then people realized there was some danger to, not danger, but people had side effects and headaches. And then in animal models, they were able to demonstrate that MSG, you know, caused some neurotoxicity and this food addiction concept. People were craving, these animals were craving food. So we took it out of a lot of processed food, and a lot of Chinese restaurants, as you know now, say no MSG. But now McDonald's and its MSG is coming back, and there's a big lobbying group trying to make sure people think that MSG is safe. But I think there's pretty good literature that we discuss in the book talking about monosodium glutamate, MSG, as contributing to this concept of food addiction.
Why would McDonald's start putting it back in? Are their sales not where they want it to be?
Well, I think it's, I think I read it might have been just maybe with their chicken sandwich or something new, because it makes food taste good.
Mm.
And so there's a marketing campaign to say that it's simple and safe. So food tastes good, might as well put it in.
Oh, dear.
I've had individuals, when I first started this years ago, who would be, you know, addicted to Chinese food and with the MSG in Chinese food.
Mm.
You know, we talk about sometimes alcoholics, they develop cravings when they drive by the bar that they're used to, and they start craving the food. Well, I had individuals who would drive by Chinese restaurants, that they would frequent and start to have those same cravings and need to eat. So not everyone with binge eating, but it's a subset. And if you eat a lot of processed food or a lot of food with MSG, it's likely contributing to this food addiction, compulsive eating.
How much does genetics play a role in obesity?
Well, I think it's in the obesity world, it's pretty significant. You know, we have different, what we're calling, weight areas of that we kind of set points is the word in the literature now. So genetics plays a huge part of that, and the genetics is such a variable term because it's not just the genetics of eating or being overweight. It could be the genetics of your ability to what I described digest and absorb protein. It could be the genetics of how you metabolize MSG. It could be the genetics of a whole host of factors that contribute to obesity. But it's clear that genetics affects our weight and our set points. And then the term that I think is most important is the term called epigenetics, because, genes aren't our destiny. You could have, three generations of obesity, but doesn't mean you'll be obese if you can control your diet and your lifestyle. So okay. Epigenetics is a term. It's how our environment and our experience affects the expression of those genes that were transmitted through our parents.
Interesting.
So a diet of junk food and sugar will affect our genes differently than someone eating a different diet. Someone who's had a trauma can change genes different than someone who's been nurtured. So this epigenetics, how our environment affects the genes, I think is a critical part of understanding binge eating disorder and other eating disorders.
Well, I think it's particularly important for listeners to understand that simply using alternative methods for helping them in relation to the supplement side, I would think that they're going to need some psychological counseling as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I think for binge eating, which I see is a very treatable eating disorder, I talk about the three legs of a stool. Part of it is just the nutrition. Some individuals are starving all day and then they have to binge because they're restricting. The focus of my book is nutritional supplements and support, the amino acids in particular. But that third leg of the stool is the psychotherapy. Absolutely. Understanding how food, affects us, whether it's, early family dynamics. And, psychotherapy, cognitive behavioral therapy has been shown to be very helpful for binge eating disorder.
I was thinking that if somebody wanted to go to your clinic once it opens in July, and now, from what I understand, it is a medical condition that is approved by insurance?
Yes. Every thing that we do would be covered by insurance for the hospital, absolutely, or the residential. For binge eating disorder, sometimes it can be treated as an outpatient. It's looking at some of these individualized testing and nutritional supplements, and sometimes it's therapy and medications.
That's great. Just great. What else would you like to add? In other words, my thinking is you've written this wonderful book, Integrative Medicine for Binge Eating, by Dr. James Greenblatt. once an individual reads your book and they understand how to rebuild their life, basically, then they're going to need a practitioner to help them do that.
I think the good news around binge eating disorder is, again, the treatment is can be simple with the right clinician. So you want to just make sure that you find a dietitian that can work with you or around diet and a good therapist who understands binge eating. And, you know, the work that we write about is kind of the nutrition and the amino acids we talked about, but there are times that medications are indicated. And
okay.
There's one approved medicine for binge eating disorder now, and there'll be another one approved maybe in a couple months. And there is effective treatment. So I just want to really make sure everyone understands that. There's
okay.
a nutritional approach, there's a therapy approach.
Sure.
But there are also medications for those that, you know, don't get relief from those first two therapies.
What's the new HOPE model?
Well, the new HOPE model just really establishes this concept of stop blaming yourself and not feeling guilty, that there is a biochemical basis. And the goal really is, you know, reestablishing balance. And most of the time, this state of binging or this constant need to eat or eat excessively is due to deficiencies. So we monitor and assess for deficiencies of nutrients. Oftentimes, as what I shared earlier, the not properly digesting a protein, so we're adding digestive enzymes, we're adding amino acids, and then trying to establish balance and looking at the three triads of the stool, the therapy, the biological, and the nutritional.
Give us a good example of how one might talk to a friend or a family member about your book, or perhaps even purchase your book for them without upsetting them. Because,
binge eating is so commonplace, whether it's binge watching TV or binge eating. But I think the important thing is if somebody is feeling out of control with their eating, and again, it's not overeating. I mean, we're all familiar with eating too much at a meal. You know, binge eating disorder really is a psychiatric illness, a secretive, shameful eating rapid, a large amounts of food in a short period of time. So I think, you know, with a friend, with a family member, just kind of being able to say now that there's information about binge eating and being able to share.
Or obesity, could you say that as well?
For some individuals, individuals with obesity have binge eating disorder, and other individuals don't.
Oh, dear.
I think that would
okay.
be important for a professional to understand. So it's not kind of a weight loss program or a book just for obesity. It's a book for those who really can't control
okay.
their appetite. And I try to establish in this concept of a new HOPE model that appetite is based on the chemicals being in the right place at the right time to tell you you're hungry and to tell you you're full. And for some individuals, that just doesn't happen.
Because of this chemical imbalance in the brain as a result of not having digestive acids, enzymes, or amino acids to assist in the protein breakdown.
And that
body.
Is one part of it that hasn't been talked about, and that's why I stress that in the book.
I love it. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add today?
Well, just, the overarching theme in all of our work is that everyone is different. You know, we talk about lots of different models of what we call getting off the roller coaster. So some mm-hmm. individuals might have a food addiction to sugar, to MSG, monosodium glutamate. Others might be deficient in the amino acids we talked about. But we also see other nutritional deficiencies, you know, vitamin B12 and other nutrients. So I think the big message, what we're trying to share, is that the individual who feels like they can't control their appetite, there could be a neurobiological issue, and there could be a deficiency that can be treated. So that's why the hope is in the title and the mm-hmm. New Hope model, that you have to have that shame and guilt about eating.
Wonderful. I think you're doing fabulous work.
Well, thank you.
Where can our listeners purchase your book?
The Integrative Medicine for Binge Eating, it's part of a series from Psychiatry Redefined, where we're trying to, we have 4 books and finishing up a few more, looking at depression, prevention of Alzheimer's and anorexia. And so in this Psychiatry Redefined series, it's available on Amazon and on our website, jamesgreenblattmd.com.
Well, I encourage our listeners to get your book and share it with a loved one or a friend who you think might benefit from it. I think it's wonderful to hear that we have treatment options now that are covered by insurance. That's really a big thing. And that there's a successful way to treat binge eating.
Yes, we're really optimistic and hopeful, and we've been doing this for 20 years now, so there's lots of treatments that can be effective.
Will you have up in July of 2020 your clinic's information and contact information?
Yes, the hospital is called Walden Behavioral Care, and so their website is up, and they'll be updating everyone on when this new facility is available.
Okay. Walden Behavioral Care.
Walden, W-A-L-D-E-N. Like Walden.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Greenblatt. It was really joyful having you back.
No problem. I really appreciate having the opportunity to talk about eating disorders, and appreciate talking with you. Thank you.
Thanks so very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That wraps up our show for today. Please join us again next Wednesday. We'll have another great guest for you. Until then, please be well. Bye-bye.
We celebrate our listeners worldwide and invite you to contact Denise at www.healthmedianow.com with any questions you may have, and follow her on Twitter at Health Media Now and Facebook at Health Media Now. For those interested in an advertising campaign on her show, contact Lisa at knowledgeworkspub.com. Be sure to visit gotcancernowwhat.com for information on Denise Messenger's award-winning book, Got Cancer, Now What?